all because of our love for God too. The book of Revelation is a gift from God through Jesus. Simply because, I don't even know if this is on yet or not. There we go. Simply because God loved us. And He wants us not to be afraid of the future. Because we as Christians have Him in our future. We've studied for the past several weeks the seven churches, which different parts of each one of those examples apply to us. Now, we see what we need to do to put it into work and what God will do with us. The fourth chapter begins this way. After this, I, meaning John the Revelator, I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice that I heard, the first heard speaking to me like a trumpet, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat on it had an appearance of jasper, carnelian, a rainbow resembling an emerald, circled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 thrones. Sitting on them were the 24 elders, and they were dressed in white. Lord, sometimes we've been afraid of your writing. And the message you gave to us from those in the past, because it seemed difficult, because there were terms we didn't use, because we just didn't want to look into the meaning and apply it to us. Give us that courage and strength now, so we can see the preparation you and our Christ Jesus has made for your servants. Let us understand and go from that. Father, we've heard many names mentioned this day, some facing surgery, some recovering from operations or illness. Still others just health problems and age has gotten to us. Still others grieve. We ask your will be done in all matters, and we can understand your guidance that you've given to us through the scriptures and from one another. Bless our country, Lord, because it seems we've fallen farther and farther away from you by following the wrong people and the wrong ideas. Let's get wisdom. Father, for the men and women who were in the military and the mission fields and those who serve us here in the States as doctors, as teachers, as nurses, as those who give us comfort and aid, bless them. Be now with the speaker. We pray for your guidance on all things. In Christ's name, amen. John was probably 94 or 95 years of age, somewhere in there, when he got the message from Christ. John was the last that we know of the living apostles. The only one we're sure we didn't die a martyr's death, though he lived a martyr's life. And Jesus picked him to convey the message to us. It would be hard for us to make up or understand without some guidance. John told us about the seven churches with personalities, some good, some bad. Personality is traits that some need to be followed, some need to be gotten rid of. And we have those in our own life, in our own church family. Some things we do, as Paul said, I wish I wouldn't do. And some things I wish to do, I don't do. That's personal connections and personal decisions. But now, his message is even farther in the future. Those seven churches were current. And we can find now today many people who act the way that they did in present. But now he's going into the future. After this, which is the seven churches, I looked, and there before me was a door standing open. But it didn't go into McDonald's. It didn't go into Publix. It didn't go into Walmart. It was a door to heaven, where the true future is. And what he's saying, an open door means you're welcome to come in. We spoke about last week about the picture right at the end of this hallway where Jesus is knocking at a door that does not have a knob. I have actually seen a door without a knob. In my grandparents' basement, there was an old wooden door. And he drilled a hole about the size of a pencil. And when he was away, he would take a leather, like a big heavy work construction shoelace, and sit out the hole. The other end of that little leather shoelace was a piece of wood that went up and down, and a latch. You were on the outside, you pulled it up, the door would swing out. At night, he'd shut the door, the latch would go down, and he'd pull the shoestring in with him so that nobody could enter that door without somebody on the front letting him in. But the door to heaven's wide open. That means it's, you're welcome to come in. It's a place for his children. And that's the encouraging message of today. Come up here, Jesus said, because it's in red print in my Bible, and you know what red print means. Come up here. I will show you what must take place after this. Well, after this, of course, is the talk about the seven churches. And I think it also means to talk about what's going to happen in the future, which we see in the rest of the book of Revelation. So when it is all over, these things shall happen. Is it a day, a week, month? Well, it's been 2,000 years so far, and God is still waiting. Why hasn't God sent Jesus already to take his children home? If you wish, I will use the word rapture. I like that rat word. Why has God not done that? Aren't things bad enough? Well, I don't know. We've heard more news on two subjects this week. If you like the news, I love the news. If you like the news, two biggest subjects. Anybody want to tell me one of the two biggest subjects of the week? What?
Ali.
Yeah, that's one. And give me another one. The gorilla. Yes, ma'am. We know all about the gorilla. Now, killing an animal is not good. But letting that animal kill a child would be horrible. And who spoke the most about that? PETA. People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. PETA, yeah. I got a debate on the radio one day with a PETA. They were talking this, that, and the other. I took all I could take. I said, I will respect you all when you spend as much time talking about the babies that are aborted and are abandoned and that are left alone. When you start talking about them, then I'll talk to you about puppy dogs. Now, I love puppy dogs. Had one sleep next to me. A puppy dog. Sleep between Becky and I. Somewhere there's a truth in there. You got to figure it out yourself. For like 16 years, she went where we went. But to think that an animal is more important than a human being? Don't think so. And then a gentleman. And then a person. I'll let you decide the gentleman part. From Louisville, Kentucky. Or Louisville. Died. What do you want to know about him? At the age of 12, somebody robbed him of his bike and he decided he was going to start defending himself, so he took up boxing. You don't know he's had Parkinson's for three. I mean, there's been hours and hours and hours and hours. So we all know who Muhammad Ali is and how much money he made in his fights and who he beat. Nowhere in entire time, I'm preaching now, I got to get up here. Nowhere in the entire time have I heard anything said about all the martyrs in the Middle East, because they believed in Jesus Christ, or they were Jews. They were lined up against walls and shot. They were beheaded. They were crucified. They were put in steel cages and either caught on fire or dunked in the water. I didn't hear any of that in the hours upon hours upon hours of Muhammad Ali and the gorilla. We know the gorilla's name. We know Ali's name. I'm going to give you the name of those people that were killed for their faith. Martyrs. Saints. That's what he's going to. If you think it's going to be an easy trip between now and heaven, you're not reading the same books I'm reading. You're not hearing the same news I hear. So why doesn't God just say, had enough. Got them with flood one time. Let's get them with fire now. I only think the reason is he hasn't is this reason. He's waiting more and more and giving more people opportunity to know who Jesus Christ was. What if he had sent Jesus on the second appearance the day before you accepted him as your Christ? How lost would you be? Well, I believed anyway. I believe too. But if you don't do something about it, it's nothing but thoughts. So he's saying here, come, I'll show you what must take place. At once I was in the Spirit, John said, and there before me was a throne in heaven, someone sitting on it. He doesn't say it's a figurative. He says it's literal. There is a God on His throne. The place is called heaven. And God rules from that throne like a king would or a queen would. And he saw that. He saw the significance of God's power. It was the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper, carnine. Those are very bright, shining, reflective. It says here, a rainbow resembling an emerald. If you looked outside the last several days, I've seen several rainbows with the rainstorms we've had. They're just breathtaking, aren't they? If you see them, they're just beautiful. I think we're drawn to that because they're used in the Bible so many times. Surrounding the throne, there were 24 other thrones. Now, I'm assuming we're talking about a big throne, then a smaller throne. Surrounding would mean it would be in a circle. Our clock has 12 points on it, so I guess it would be at every hour and every 30 minutes. It would be 24 would fit that way in the circle. Seated on them were the 24 elders. The best I can gather from all the reading and studying, this somewhat represents the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles of Jesus, capturing both the Old and the New Testament. It's the appearance of both. That God was in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And those who were the leaders in both Old and New Testament will be God's servants. Now, do I actually know whether each one, is it really Judah himself? Is it really Benjamin himself? Is it really Simeon himself? I don't know. That may be representative of the tribe. But they were there surrounding God, there for a purpose. You ever notice when somebody gives a speech on TV anymore, there's usually half a dozen or a dozen people behind them, sort of backing them up, sort of lending their influence? I see that there. They were dressed in white. Royalty. Purity. Honor. If you remember back, the Old Testament high priest wore a white linen ephod to show they were pure and worshiping God. They had crowns of gold on their heads. There's a church song. You may remember, crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. That's representative of what's going on here. Each one showed those crowns, showed a position of honor, an authority. From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder. Our 2-year-old youngest granddaughter is scared of lightning right now. I saw on the TV today, now I tell you what, I'm wondering if we should do this with a kid. It's called Snuggie Sweater. If you got a cat or a dog that's upset by lightning, you put this really, really, really tight sweater on them, and it makes them feel hugged, and they're not afraid of lightning anymore. What if they make children sizes for that too, or adult sizes maybe even, I don't know. But there's booms, there's lightning. Have you not seen, I like to watch lightning. The flashes across the sky, they're just awe-inspiring. Well, God had that come around them. It shows His power. Before the throne, 7 lamps were blazing. We talked about 7 lamps earlier. Each one stood as the messenger to the churches, the 7 churches He listed. There were 7 lamps there. 7 spirits of God represented the speakers from God. Also before the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. It talks in the Old Testament about the brazen sea. It's the water that was put in the temple. It was set on the backs of 12 molded oxen. I think it was like 11, 11 and a half, 12 feet wide. They said it held like 80,000 gallons of water. That's big. That's pretty good size. And that golden sea is where the priests would come and purify themselves. It was the water that was used. There was power there. Isn't water one of the lifebloods We have to have something to drink. We cook. We use water a lot. It was powerful there. The sea of glass was crystal clear. Was pure. I love those commercials where you get this little bottle and you screw something on top of it and you pour water in. Dark, muddy water goes in and nice, clean, clear water comes out. Not sure I'd drink it, but it does that. You see, God is all for purity. Now, we can't be good enough to be pure. He makes us pure through the blood of Jesus. As Jeff very well said a few minutes ago, those who have submitted to Christ, been baptized in His name, have been washed in the blood of the water through the water, are purified. So that's where He speaks of that. In the center of the throne were four living creatures. Now, if you're 4 or 5 years old, I can see where this would put a spook on you. There were four living creatures. They were covered with eyes. Okay. Creatures with eyes. Front and back. I guess that represented seeing everything. The first living creature was like a lion. On Fox today, they had somebody had filmed a child in a zoo. And he'd been looking at the lion, and as soon as he turned around, the lion took a run and go at him. Problem is, a lion can't get through 1 inch of solid glass, which is probably a good thing for that kid. But powerful and scary. And was an MGM opens up their movies with roar, those kind of things. We should be scared of lions. The second was an ox. Now, most of us have been around cattle and all, but an ox is a big old rascal. More powerful, stronger. Paul Bunyan and Babe the Blue Ox, remember that? Who could pull a river out straight. They're what pulled the plows in the ancient days and the wagons and the wagon trains and stuff. They never give up. They're just strong. Second one looked like an ox. The third had the face of a man. So this creature looked a lot like us. It had a human face on it. And the fourth creature was like a flying eagle. I think, isn't that what we call our national bird? An eagle? I've seen several times here, up on where the old spire was, where that flat is now, eagle sitting up there eating a fish that had just caught. I'm glad he eats fish instead of people. And when he got done with it, we actually had a full skeleton of fish that fell down off the building and was properly disposed of that Sunday morning. The power of the eagle, the big talons, the claws that are so strong. So these represented strength and power and respect. That's what we're seeing here. Each of the four living, you with me now? Each of the four living creatures had six wings. I'd assume that's three on each side or they'd fly crooked. Had six wings. It was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. And day or night, they never stopped saying. So we've got power and strength and respect and the wings. We learned in another part of the Old Testament that with two wings, they covered their face when they were before God. With two wings, they covered their feet, the sign of disrespect to show your feet. And with two wings, they flew. So they were all usable wings. But here's what their task was, and their task was solely this. They sang, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Somebody in that songbook plagiarized that. "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which wert," past, "which is, and evermore shall be." That's the power of God. He wasn't created by a big bang. He wasn't created by a bunch of philosophers in Greece or Rome or Jerusalem. He wasn't created at all. He always was. You don't believe me? Go back to the Old Testament. Look in the book of Exodus. Look in the book of Exodus. "Who should I say sent me? I am." Two simple words, "I am." Says it all. Nothing else need to be said because God is, always was, and always shall be. So what Jesus is telling John to us, here's the lineage that it goes of. The power resides in heaven, sits on a throne, surrounded by 24 lesser powers, the elders, they're called now. And in that, They have horn. Excuse me. They have coin crowns that show him that he, God, has given them power. And they're surrounded by the creatures. They see everything and know anything with all type of different powers among them. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne, meaning God, of course, Jehovah. And they worship him who lives forever and ever and ever. He's trying to point out the continuation of God. It's not like a two-week vacation or staycation. It's not like going up north for this summer, although I don't know why they do that. It's not like buying green, no, other way around, buying dark, dark yellow bananas with big brown spots that are almost ruined anyway, or expired cards, drinking milk with two-month-old expired on it. You don't want that. It's forever. And that's what you want to eat dinner after that, do you? They lay the crowns below the throne. They give up their power to God. You are worthy, O Lord our God, they say, to receive glory and honor and power. Isn't that really what our prayer time should be? Giving praise to God, giving him the thanks that we have because he is so great and powerful that we give all of our grace to you. Give all of our love to you. Give all of our appreciation to you because without you, we would have nothing. I'm not a scientist, nor have ever played one on television. But from what I read, if our Earth's axis, which is not North Pole, it's like at an angle, was like 2 or 3 degrees or maybe even less than that, we'd either freeze to death or burn to pieces. God set us in motion exactly where we should be. He gave us water, what we needed. He gave us fruits and vegetables to eat. And pie. No, that's not in the Bible. I mean, well, they're part of the fruit, so maybe he did. I don't know. 4th of July is coming up. Don't forget. You are worthy, our Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will. By your will. He didn't do anything magical. He didn't have a wand and do one of them Merlin things. He just said, I want it to be. Let there be light. Let there be land. And it just happened because he said so. By your will, they were created and have their being. The power that's described in here really sets up the rest of the book of Revelation. Because if we do not understand how strong God is, how powerful God is, and how loving God is, then the rest of it makes no sense. It's just a fairy tale meant to scare people to death. I look at it this way. It is a true story of a prophecy by the only one who can make true prophecy, not to scare us, but to convince us that God loves us and has a place for us. Back after December 1941, we were drafting people to high heavens. We had a war to fight. The Italians, though, they didn't take a whole lot. The Germans, which took a whole lot, and the Japanese, which took a whole lot, too. Was it like 4.5 million or so men that had been drafted in that period of time? But you know what the government didn't think of? What to do with them when they got out. I know in our hometown of Lexington, they were building houses, not a house, but houses per day. Gunnison homes, they call them. Some of you may have seen them. They were basically a sheet of plywood, well, a sheet of paneling on two sides of a two by two, stacked up, trusses put on them, nailed them together, an outside little heater, and that was it. They had to put these people somewhere. They'd been overseas for 2, 3, 4, 5 years. They didn't have enough jobs for them all. So everybody that was working in a plant that had taken the place of these soldiers, thank you very much, you're gone, particularly if it was the women. Thank you very much, but you're gone. These men have a job to come back to. They didn't have enough, so they came up with the GI Bill and sent those that were in the military to college or to trade school to learn what to do. We planned on how to destroy the enemy. We had not planned on how to thank our own. When I read Revelation, it tells me God has thought ahead on how to thank his own. Those who have said, like Simon Peter, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. those who had followed what Peter said later, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. See, God knew his people would one day come home to him. He's trying to explain to us what a great and awesome event it will be. Did you ever meet somebody famous? You had a chance to shake their hand and maybe speak to them. Now, by the way, you say, bubba da bubba da bubba da bubba da bubba da, because your tongue was tied, the cat got your tongue type of thing. And you really were, the presence just scared you. If you read just that fourth chapter, we should be scared to death. Lightning and thunder and bright lights and men and four people standing around the middle with eyes all over them. Stephen King couldn't do that good. But God did for a purpose. For he wanted to welcome home everybody that called him Father, that obeyed his commandments, who were his children. Don't be afraid of Revelation. It's good news. Yeah, you have to get a shot. And they put it right there, and you get a big old bubble on it, and you don't get smallpox. Not a bad trade, is it? Things like that. God's got a plan. We're in his arms, wrapped in the arms of Jesus and hugging us when he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few, you will receive many great rewards. The Lord's coming. Don't know when. Doesn't really matter. Well, I think his name was Bill Gaither. Now, in fact, I'm sure it was. And he sang a song that just makes me tremble with joy inside. I've heard Richard sing it at least once. The King is coming. The King is coming. Thank God he's coming for me. It applies to us today as much as it did 2,000 years ago. If you've not accepted the King as your Lord and Savior, we give you the opportunity now. We sing our hymn of invitation and decision. Stand with me as we sing. Karen, I didn't hear the song. 496. 496. Thank you. Stand with hymn number 496.